And I realize that all of you are not fathers. Some of you may be mothers, and that is a good thing. Some of you have children. Some of you may not have children. So maybe you're an aunt or an uncle, and there may be some things today that you can take home and relate to your own lives. Or perhaps maybe you're at an age where maybe down the road, Lord willing, you're thinking, maybe I'll be a parent someday, I'll have a child. Well, then you need to take really good notes today and keep these in file so when that day happens, you can pull them out and put them into practice. But there will be things that I think all of us can take home today, whether we're a dad or not. But I want to really focus on dads today and our role as fathers. And I want to look at three areas of fatherhood. And we're going to use the word pop. If you take your notes out today in your outline, and that, by the way, I'm not talking about a soft drink, but it's in reference to father, being a father. Perhaps some of you, maybe your kids call you pop or pops or papa, something like that. But we're going to use that word pop today. The first letter P will stand for point. Point. Now, as a father, perhaps some of you have done this once or twice in your life. Son or daughter? If you do that again, let me tell you, you're going to be in deep trouble. Maybe you've taken your finger and you've pointed at them. Well, that's not the point that I'm talking about today. The point I'm referring to is this, is pointing them to God, pointing our children to God. How do we do that? Well, one of the best ways that we can point our children to God is by pointing ourselves to God. In other words, being that example to them of what it means to follow God and to love God. It's so easy to fall into the do as I say, not as I do kind of lifestyle. We can get there as parents. It's often our children may not see us practice what we preach. And we can often say things like this, you know what, would you just clean your room? Or how many times do I got to tell you, Jordan? I love picking on Jordan. He's right in the front row. I mean, that's the trouble of being in the front row. You always get picked on. John gets picked on over there. Pick up your clothes. Don't leave your clothes laying around. But yet, if Jordan were to go into my room, maybe on the side of my bed, he would see some clothes laying on the side there. You know, what would he think? Or if I were to say, hey, Josh, you know, don't talk to your mother that way. But yet Josh hears me talking to Helen in a harsh or disrespectful, unloving kind of way. He may say, well, Dad, why don't you practice what you preach? Now, obviously, that doesn't give these guys an excuse to disobey their parents, right? But do we ever make them wonder, why don't you follow your own advice that you give to us? And so we need to be careful that we have consistency in our lives, not only in the home, but also in spiritual matters. Do our kids see a consistency in our lives? Do they see us faithful in the things of God? Do they see that? Do they see us seeking God's will for our lives? Do they see us depending on the grace of God each and every day? Number one, are we pointing ourselves toward God? Well, how else can we point them to God? Well, I think one of the best books in the Bible that we can read as fathers is the book of Deuteronomy. And I know that books like Proverbs are great. There's a lot of wisdom in there for fathers and sons. But Deuteronomy has some great instructions for those who are dads. And though it is written to the nation of Israel as a people, woven throughout that are specific instructions to those who are, quote, head of the home. Great responsibilities that we have as dad. Well, today I just want to look at two verses out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, and that is verses 17 and 18. And if we can get there up there. And who's doing that, by the way, today? Is that Emily's doing that? Do you usually do that, Emily? No, Joe does. Okay, because I got thinking, you know what? I always say Joe, and then Emily's up there. Maybe she's the one that does the verse thing. Okay, so I'm okay. But today, thank you, Emily, for doing that. 17 and 18 says this, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Now here Moses is speaking to the people of Israel in kind of a prophet-like manner. and says, this is what you need to remember as you come into the promised land. You need to remember the Lord your God. And this is a great message that really still needs to be communicated to dads today. If you have a child, and they may excel in, say, academics, it's a good thing. But do you tell them this? Do you say, you know what, Billy, I'm really glad that you studied hard. Or maybe Billy's so smart, he didn't even have to study. He just got straight A's. Do you tell them, great job, and I'm glad you worked hard, but understand this, Billy, the ability that you have, the mind that God has given you to understand and comprehend the things that you do ultimately came from God. Therefore, give thanks to God for the mind that you have. And certainly not just with school, but it could be in the area of sports, or maybe they're a good worker, they excel in their skill or their trade. All those things, do we point them back to God and say, thank God that He gave you that ability to do what you do. We need to remind them of what Paul told the Romans in Romans 11, the last verse of that. Paul says this, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. So before you say to your child, hey, you the man, you got it going on. Think of that letter U. Letter U goes like this, right? Oh, like that. All right, Romans 11, 36. For from Him, down to us, and through Him, through us, and back to Him are all things. To God be the glory forever and ever. And this is what we need to instill in the minds of our kids, that all things come from God. The things that you do come through Him. And ultimately, they all go back to Him when we think of that. So how can we point them to God? Number one, we point ourselves to God. Number two, we remind them that everything they have, the abilities they have, come ultimately from God. And thirdly, one of the most important thing that we can do as dads is to tell them about Jesus. And why is that so important? Because Jesus is the way to God, isn't He? Jesus would say in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. And as dads, speaking for myself, I know I can be guilty of having this kind of mindset. Well, you know what? The kids go to church, they go to Sunday school, they go to youth group, and you know what? My wife does a great job at telling them the things about Jesus. She's got it covered pretty good. And sometimes I fail to tell them myself about the importance of believing in Jesus and having Jesus in their own lives. How much better for them to hear it from my lips. Those things are all well and good, that they come to church and that their mom may tell them the things of Christ. But how much better if they hear it from my lips and from your lips as dads? Because you know what? When they hear it from our lips, you know what that tells them? It's important to us. Jesus is important to us. And the fact that they know Jesus and believe in Jesus, it's important that they know Him as well. Well, dads, I want you to imagine something for a moment. I want you to imagine that you're a really old man. And some of you may be thinking, I don't have to imagine, I'm already there. No, I don't think so. I mean really old. I mean so old that you're now in a nursing home and you're wheeling around in a wheelchair. That's how old you are. And after you just went down to see the laundry people because your dentures got thrown down the laundry chute, and you have a word or two with them, you go back up the elevator, you get back into your room, you look on your nightstand, and there is a photo of your child or of your children. And as you look at the picture of your kids, what brings you the most joy? Do you say, oh, I'm so glad that Susie grew up and she got a PhD and she became a doctor. I'm so glad my son became a lawyer. There's nothing wrong with those professions at all. But what brings you the greatest joy? Is it because they became so successful in this life? You know what? I'm so glad my child made a name for themselves. And they became something. And they've got a nice family, a nice home. They even come to visit me on the weekends. Is that what brings you joy? or does this bring you joy? You look at their faces and you say, I'm so glad that my children know Jesus. Because you know what? I can't always be there for them. But I know this, Jesus will always be there for them. As we've sung today, what a friend we have in Jesus. So that whether I'm here, there, or in the air, I know they've got a faithful Redeemer, Savior, and friend that's always going to be with them. And so that is what brings me joy, knowing that they know Him. And they have a faithful God who will always, always be with them. The second letter is O. O is going to stand for operate. Anybody got a gallbladder surgery this week or anything? No, nothing like that. Operate, not in that sense. The word operate here means operate in the Holy Spirit. Operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we go to Galatians chapter 5, we see the Apostle Paul write to the Galatians about what it means to live in the Spirit and the fruit that comes from obedience. Galatians 5, 22 through 25 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. One of the things that I hope all of you do as believers is that when you get up in the morning, you spend some time in the Word of God, in the Bible, and you spend some time in prayer. If you talk to the health experts, they'll tell you that breakfast is what? Supposedly the most important, right, meal of the day. And spiritually speaking, there's much benefit from just starting the day with Jesus, starting the day in His Word, talking to Him, praying to Him, seeking His face for the day. And certainly we can do that anytime throughout the day, but I think there's something special about starting the day with Him. So if you don't do that, I would encourage you to begin to do that. Just spend time reading the Word and praying each day. But what can often happen is that as we develop this routine of, quote, quiet time, we may find this happening in our lives, and that is this. We begin our day, and we may pray something like this. Oh, God, would you please bless and watch over my family? And God, as I head off to work today, would you help me to be a good witness? Would you help me to shine my light today? Would you just help me to be an example? That I would love those that I work around and just be an example of Christ today. Would you help me to do that, God? And then we do that. And then we drive home, and as we walk through our door, we suddenly become maybe more demon-possessed than spirit-possessed, if you know what I mean. We can forget that prayer we prayed. So maybe as dads, what we ought to do, if you've got to drive home or I get to walk home, before you enter the door, before you touch the doorknob, re-pray that prayer you prayed in the morning. God, as I enter my home today, would you guard and bless my family? God, would you help me to shine the light of Christ within these four walls? Would you help me to operate in the power of the Spirit within my own four walls? Often what we do is, as Paul says in Galatians 5, that we are to keep in step with the Spirit or live by the Spirit. And what can happen is, as we open the door, we take our shoes off and then we kind of take the Spirit off too. I know, theologically speaking, we cannot do that, right? Because the Spirit, once He's in us, He's always going to be in us. But maybe theoretically, we can kind of push Him away. We no longer give Him the authority or the reigning in our hearts that He ought to have. And so we operate in the flesh. Because after all, this is now my home, right? And we can think that way. We need to operate in the power of the Spirit, not only outside of our home, but inside of our home as well. Well, number three, the third letter P, is going to stand for pray. And you may think, well, that's just a given, right? As dads, we should always be in prayer. But you know what? Sometimes as parents, our hearts may not be right toward our children. Perhaps they may make some decisions that we don't agree with. Perhaps sometimes they may do things that we don't like. Perhaps they may say things that hurt us. And so what happens is our hearts can become hardened. It's as if you earned a furniture restoration, you put that shellac on, right? You don't just put one coat. You just keep putting lots of coats on until it builds up nice and hard. That can often happen as parents toward children when things happen. When there's a tension there, often our hearts can become hard. And what prayer does is prayer will soften our hearts. When it becomes hard, prayer softens it when we truly pray for our children. And when we begin to truly pray for them, you know what happens? We'll realize this. No matter what has happened in the past, the greatest thing that God wants me to do in the lives of my children is to love them. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, many of you know that chapter, that great love chapter. We read it yesterday if you were at the renewal of the vows there, 13, 4 through 7. But today I want us to look at verses 1 through 3 of that chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing." Relate this to being a father. If Paul were to write this to you and I who are dads, how would he say it? He might say this: "Oh, you've taught your children great wisdom. Man, they know how to manage their money better than Dave Ramsey. They're great at it. But have you loved them as well? Oh, you've sacrificed, you've poured your life into them. You've paid for their college and now they're doctors, they're successful. But have you loved them along the way? Oh, you've trained your child to be the best baseball player he could be. And I hear that the big leagues are even after him. There's scouts who are looking at him. He may make it big time. But have you loved them along the way?" You see, if they have all those things, great wisdom, great wealth, great success in the eyes of the world, but you haven't loved them, then as a parent, what have you done in the eyes of God? Don't underestimate the power of love. How high of a priority love is in the eyes of God when it comes to loving our children. Let me just say this: true prayer will create a deeper love for our children. Let me say that again. True prayer, when you truly pray, what does it mean to truly pray? What are you talking about? Isn't prayer prayer? No, truly pray. Pray in the Spirit. Because the Spirit produces things like love, joy, peace, patience, all those things that begin to well up in us for other people as we pray in the Spirit. So as you truly pray, God will build a deeper and deeper love for your child. Well, what are some things we ought to be praying about? You know what? Every child is different. Every child faces different struggles and difficulties and trials in their lives. But you know what? The most important thing we can do is this, is we can pray for their own salvation. We can pray that they come to know Jesus Christ. I said earlier, it's important to tell them, but it's also important to pray. Because as we read the scriptures, we see that salvation is a supernatural work of God. God is the one who grants salvation. It is God who opens up hearts and minds. And so we pray to that end. That is why we get on our knees and pray, "God, please work in my child's heart. Work in their mind. Bring them to you by your grace, oh God." Pray for that. Well, what else? It's important to pray for the paths that they take. Remember what Jesus taught his disciples in the Lord's Prayer? One of the lines in there was this, and lead us not into temptation. Let me read that and say, why would you ever pray that? Because we all know God doesn't tempt anyone, right? God is not evil. He doesn't tempt people. So why would you ever pray that? Well, what Jesus was saying was this, pray in this way, God, may I not find myself in a place of great temptation. In other words, if I struggle with gambling, God, lead me not into a casino where I know it's this temptation is going to just be so great, it's going to be hard for me to say no. This is the idea of lead me not into temptation. Keep me far away from those things that I know can really bring me down. That's what it means. And so we're really to pray this for our kids as well. God, I pray that my child would not go down a path of great temptation where they face these things that would drag them away from you. We know that this world has much to entice our children. And so we pray, oh God, may the things of this world not be attractive to our kids. May they not desire those things. And I'm sure many of you who are adults can say, you know what? I've lived my life quite a while and I know the temptation of this world, don't I? I've been there, done that, done some things I'm not pleased with, and I know the grip that the world can have on our young people that can be so appealing. As the band Cademan's Call once sang, this world has nothing for me, but yet this world has everything. And as believers, we know that nothing can truly satisfy us like Jesus, don't we? Because we've been there. We know what it's like to know him and how he satisfies that spiritual hunger and thirst that is within us. He does that. But yet, even as believers, how many of us are fooled by sin? How many of us fall into a place where we think that this thing or this thing over here is going to satisfy us and we give into it? And so we ought not be alarmed or surprised when we find our children falling into those same things, because they are flesh and bone just as we are. And so it's so important that we as dads would clothe ourselves in prayer. Well, the final thing I want to say today is this, and that is no matter who you are, no matter what you have done in your life, there is a perfect father out there who has been adopting children for many, many years now. And this father is righteous and he's good, but he's also holy and he demands perfection. And you may say, okay, I don't know if I want that kind of father if he's going to demand perfection, but before you tune me out, just listen. He's also perfect in love. And his love goes so deep that he would say this to you. I love you so much that I am willing to forgive you of all your sin and never, ever throw it up in your face ever again. I'll never, ever say, I told you so. Or do you remember what you did 10 years ago? Do you remember what you did 3 years ago? I'll never, ever bring it to remembrance again. That is the kind of father that we need. And I think by now you may know that I'm not talking about an earthly father. I'm talking about God the Father. God the Father who sent his son. The Bible says this, that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you doubt the love of God? Then all you've got to do is look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Because there, God gave up his best. He gave up his own son, so that we who are sinners could be forgiven. And there Jesus demonstrated his love for us by laying down his life. The Bible says there is no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that is what Jesus has done. So today I say, do you know that Heavenly Father? Have you trusted in the work of his Son, Jesus Christ? Are you made new in Christ today? And if you haven't done that, then today just put your faith and your trust all in Jesus. Repent of your sins and come to Jesus Christ. And perhaps today there's one or two of you who may be like a prodigal son or a daughter. And maybe you knew the Lord intimately at one time, but through Over time, you've drifted. You've taken some paths that you're not happy with. And along those paths, God has been whispering to you and you hear his voice, but you just kind of put it to the side and you just keep going down that path. And you know that you are so far from God right now as you sit in this room. Nobody else does, but you know where you're at before God. The parable of the prodigal son is so sweet because it reminds us that once we belong to God, we always belong to him. And when we get so far in the pit of despair and sin and so far from God, when we finally come to our senses and we turn around, three of the best words in the Bible are this. Three, yes. The father ran. In that parable, it says when the son started to come home, and as soon as he saw the son, the father ran. He wasn't saying, hey, boy, let me tell you, when you get back, I got a word with you. He ran to his son. He hugged him. He embraced him. He kissed him. He said, it's party time. The son who was lost is now home. That is the love that the father has for you who may be prodigals today, prodigal sons or daughters. So if you fear that he's going to whip you upside the head, he's ready to say, come home, my child. Come home to me today. Walk with me. Dine with me. Enjoy me. Put your hope in Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are the perfect Father. And just as Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abba, Father, he was in incredible sorrow, and yet he knew you in an incredible way. So, Lord, we just want to know you in that same way, Father. Father, forgive us for often putting you in human terms. Lord, just not understanding you, we think of you too much in the earthly sense and not in the way in which your word tells us. God, help us to understand the depth of your love and your grace today. Father, for we who are dads, I pray that we would point our children to you, that we would operate in the Holy Spirit, and that we would pray continually for our kids. God, today I thank you for our young people. I thank you for those who know you and love you. And Lord, help us to just never forget the responsibilities that we have for them, not only as parents, but as a church family. Father, today I pray that your grace would fill us, that your grace would empower us to live for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.